Today we celebrate the feast of one of the saints that I consider to be one of the greatest saints in the church. People look to St. Thomas and his doubting and ultimately his act of faith and how important that has been for so many people over the years. And indeed, for those struggling with faith, that would be the case. But Mary Magdalene, on the other hand, is for those who struggle with hope, the hope of their own salvation, the hope of the forgiveness of their sins, the hope that they can actually be loved by God. Because we look at our sins and we recognize our unworthiness and we wonder, could God really love somebody like me with all the sins that I've committed? And we have to remember with St. Mary Magdalene, she of course lived as a prostitute, which is bad enough, but she was possessed by 7 demons. She was not what we would consider to be a good person. And when we listen to this man at the Pharisee at table saying, if he knew who and what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner, like, and you're not? But it wasn't a matter just that, well, we're all sinners, so yeah, I realize that. No, she was quite the notorious sinner. She was well known for her escapades. And obviously, she's possessed by 7 demons. She probably was pretty well known for some of the demonic, bizarre things that might have been happening around her. And yet, it is precisely that woman who became one of our Lord's closest friends. We see the love that Jesus had for her, and of course the love that she had for him. We hear in the first reading about the bride who is seeking her beloved, and she goes about the town looking for him and asking the watchman and so on, and immediately she finds him whom her heart loves. And it says, I held on to him and would not let him go. Remember with Mary Magdalene, she tried that. Jesus said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. Her love was not yet purified. It was still selfish. Unlike the bride in the first reading, she wanted to hold on to Jesus for selfish reasons. That was ultimately purified in her, to the point that she would hold on to him because she loved him, not because of what she could get from him. And that's what all of us need to learn. What we hear in the first reading is all the lessons of the spiritual life and how that operates. But in this case, that relational aspect of this woman who is seeking the beloved of her soul and so desperate in that seeking, because feels abandoned, the beloved is gone. Mary Magdalene didn't know who the beloved was. Obviously, you could look at it on one hand with all that she got herself into. You could say, here is a woman who desperately wanted to be loved, but she didn't even know what it meant. We don't know what happened in her life. Was she abused? Was she abandoned? We have no idea what caused her to get into the kind of life that she was in. But a woman, I think we could easily say, who was pretty desperate. Not desperate financially, desperate relationally. She was made to love and be loved, just like you and I are. But again, she didn't know what that was. And it wasn't until she met our Lord that she recognized what true charity was. Somebody truly just loved her for who she was, not because of what she looked like, not because of her physical attributes, not because of the unfortunate things that she was willing to do, whatever it might be, none of that was of interest to our Lord. He just loved her for who she was. And that is exactly what he does for you and me. We, of course, recognize, as we've talked about many times, that no matter what we do, no matter how much we love him, no matter how much we serve him, he gets zero from it. So there's nothing selfish on his part. He's not loving you for what he can get from you. He loves you because he made you to be loved. He loves you because you are you, pure and simple. That's the only reason that he loves you. Not because you're so wonderful, not because you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, not because you're the most beautiful person on the face of the earth. No. He loves you because you are the person he made in his image and likeness. And he loves you because of that. Now the struggle for us is to accept it. We can only imagine how difficult that was for St. Mary Magdalene initially. How do you do this? What does this mean? All these people who've used me, all these people who violated me, all these people who treated me like a piece of garbage, now I have somebody who actually treats me with respect and dignity. She probably didn't have a clue how to handle that. She had to learn. Certainly, just as we see after the resurrection, she's trying to hang on to Jesus. She's still acting out of the selfishness. That all had to be purified. She had to learn, just like we do. And so we can look to her, and we can have hope. Because if somebody like a Mary Magdalene is that loved by God, and somebody like her who loves God so much, and people like you and me, we can have hope too, because we're sinners. We have failed in our love for God. We have done all kinds of really stupid things trying to find love or be loved or whatever it might be. And love is right there in front of us if we will only accept, if we will simply let our guard down and open our heart and make those changes in our lives. We look at what Mary Magdalene did as she came in. Remember when it talks about reclining at table, the tables were only like a foot off the ground, and so they literally would lie down with their head propped up on their arm, and so their feet would be straight behind them, not like sitting at the table the way that we do. That's why she could go behind him, and her tears would be on his feet. And then she dried them with her hair. Again, we might look at that and go, that's pretty gross, considering what the streets of ancient Jerusalem would have been like. That's not what it's about. She finally knew what love was. All that pain, all that had been pent up within her had to come out. And the very thing that she used for her trade, the very thing she used to be attractive, that's what she used to wipe the filth from the feet of our blessed Lord. Essentially saying, I have changed my life. This is the past. This isn't who I am anymore. And that's what we have to do as well. Many of us, if we look at how our lives used to be, maybe we've done that to a great degree. We've gotten rid of all these things that I used to use for wrong purposes, things that would lead me away from God. Thankfully, we've thrown them away. But as we continue to work through that deeper conversion in our lives, we have to keep doing that. What are the areas of sin? I need to cut them off. Need to get rid of it. It's not enough just to say, okay, I should stop. We look at a Mary Magdalene who did these extraordinary things to be able to demonstrate that she had changed her life. So open your heart. If there's pain, if there's sadness, if there's sorrow, if there's loneliness, let it out. Stand behind our Lord and cry on his feet. And use the very thing that you have tried to do to be able to find something to fill your heart. Give it to him and let him fill your heart, because only he can. He is the beloved of our souls. He is the one that we're seeking, often unknowingly. Like a Mary Magdalene with all of her unfortunate escapades, She was seeking to be loved. She was seeking love. You and I do the same thing. Maybe not the same way. We've all got our own different ways of doing it. But we're all seeking the same thing because it's what we're created for. And so once we recognize that all of these other things have failed us, but there is only one who does not, and that one who does not fail us is the only one who can fulfill us. That's what Mary Magdalene found, and that's what you and I can find as well. She, in my mind, should be the patron saint of hope for all of us sinners, that we will have hope, that we will be loved, and that like her, we can love God immensely, because those whose sins are greater, they can love God even more. Look at yourself. Are your sins piddly, or are they great? I suspect most of us would have to say the latter. If that's the case, reject the devil's lies that because you're such a horrible sinner that you're rejected. No, no, no. If you can sin big, you can love big. Your sins, which are great, have been forgiven. Therefore, love God even more.